The story we read in Matthew and Luke. Let's get back to our story. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's get back to our story. The first thing we see in this story is that Jesus says that, number one, worrying has no value to life. It adds no value to life. In Matthew 6:27, it says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And in Luke 12:25-26, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Worrying doesn't add any value to life. That's the first thing. Worrying has no value. In fact, what Jesus is saying is that worrying devalues your life. Anybody who is worrying here, you are taking away the value of your life. And that's a serious thing. You can't add a single hour to your life. You can't add a single second to your life. When you are worrying, you are devaluing your life. You are taking the value of your life. Look at what is seated in front of us. A man died for us. Somebody offered himself to die on the cross because you have sinned. The weight of the burden of human sins laid on Jesus. That is the cup he had to drink. So somebody stood in for you when you ought to die. And the Bible says, Jesus said, anybody who is worrying, you don't add even a single thing to your life. So worrying, number one, is useless. Tell a friend, worrying is useless. And what does it mean? It means that anybody who is a constant worrier, you are worrying all the time, you are making useless of your life. That is how hard it is. Worrying is useless. Worrying is useless. It doesn't add any value to your life. You are not growing. You are not going to be more powerful. Anointing will not increase. Knowledge of God will not increase. Insight in God's word will not increase. Worrying is a distractor to your divine growth. Which of you can add? Worrying is a subtraction. Worrying is a division. Worrying is not addition. The arithmetic of worrying. He said, when you are worrying, you cannot add. Jesus is telling you, you cannot add. Come on, say, I cannot add. So worrying doesn't add anything to your life. You can't add anything. You can't add a value. You can't add anything. Worrying doesn't add. It means that worrying takes away. You are not adding. And as you sit here, you are worrying. You are taking something out of your life. If you don't know, worry can make you ugly. I'm telling you, your face will change. Your skin color will change. Your head will begin to ache. Because for some of us, the power of worrying over you is that worrying will open up catastrophes in your mind. We call it awfulization. You will awfulize every situation. The slightest, something is going to happen. There's a lion out there. 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 And there's no lion out there. The lion is inside your mind. The lion is inside your body. There is no lion out there. Worrying doesn't add value to your life. If you met anyone who is a warrior, look at their lives. They have never added any value. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you are not going to be devalued because you are worrying. I speak life into your soul, life into your spirit, life into your mind. In the name of Jesus, when the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. Why do you worry? Worrying doesn't add value. Come on, tell a friend. Worrying doesn't add value to your life. Oh, tell him or her again. For the last time, tell him again. It adds no value. Worrying devalues. Worrying underrates. Worrying minimizes the operations of the divine in our lives. Worrying takes us away from the realm of the supernatural into the realm of the natural. Worrying adds no value to our lives. The second thing you see about worrying is that worrying focuses on things around us. So worrying is within the human sphere. He says, why do you worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear? Now, I'd like all of you to tell me. Tell me which human agitations don't revolve around these things. Tell me. When the dollar and the cedi, the exchange went bad, why are we worried so much? The first thing that happened was that we felt that our basic needs are threatened. When I went to pick a few groceries, and I saw that a tin of Milo I used to buy at 11 cedis was now 45 cedis, I knew that my basic survival was threatened. Then you say, Milo keke. You know, the way in Ghana, Milo keke. Milo keke means that Milo doesn't need to be, this is nothing that I should buy. 11 cedis to 45 cedis. That is how many fold change? 400. That was serious. Food inflation in Ghana is heavy. And I can tell you, the difficulties of every human or humanity is that when you take up certain basic things in life, humans will become like animals. I'm telling you. Take what we wear. Take what we eat. Take where we put our heads. You know why? Because these are basic supporters of biological functioning. They are basic facilitators of biological functioning. Jesus, when he was talking in Matthew 4, when the devil came to tempt him and said, man shall not live by bread alone. He did not say, man shall not live by bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. That word alone then means that bread is important, but that bread is not sufficient. So he did not say that eating is not good. Eating is good. But he says that don't let eating become the major focus. Man shall not live by bread alone. So eating is good. Then eating God's word too is good. So eat, but also eat God's word. So bread is important. Let me tell you, it was bread that challenged the life of the Jews. Read the Bible about the experiences of the Jews on the wilderness. Their challenge with God was more than 90% of the time on food, on their security, on their life. One time, they told Moses, why did you bring us here to die? There are onions, garlic, good vegetables in Egypt. When you are eating, you feel it. Why did you bring us onto this wilderness to die? You know what? We prefer to be slaves. That's telling the power of biology. We prefer to be slaves than to be here and die of hunger. Give us food. God told Moses, tell them, I'll bring quails. The other time he told them, let them go out and I'll cause manna. The Bible says that they ate the food of angels. It means a manna was food of angels. Maybe God went to the angels one morning when they were going to, dining table and say, hey, today all of you stop. I'm taking your ration to the earth. They ate the food of angels. It was food. At the time they said that they were thirsty and they were challenging God. And God told Moses, strike the rock, and water were gushed forth. In fact, Moses was even tempted the second time. When God said, speak to the rock, he was so angry. He said, you stiff-necked people, pow! Then God said, you too, you are in trouble. Fooled! So worrying is around you. That's the second point. Worrying is around you. It means that what will cause you worry is not far away from you. Your dress can cause you worry. What to eat, in fact, the shoe you wear can cause you to worry. The money in your pocket can cause you to worry. This morning when we were coming here, even the Uber you took, you had a problem. You're worrying, how much? Then the Uber driver say, Madam, 20, say, now we can hear it, yet here. I was saying, it's not anything. Get down and walk. And then you realize that you couldn't walk. You have to take it like that. Worrying is all around you. Now, what does that mean? If worrying is all around you, then you have to be very careful about the things around your life. That's what it means. It means you have to be very cautious, because the things around you are the things that will kill you. They are the things that will break your Christian life. They are the things that will break your spiritual growth. The things around you can break you. Worrying is all around you. He said, what you eat and what you drink, because those are the things we worry. And he said, even the pagans, they are after these things. What does that mean? It means that anybody who's worrying is focusing on what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, where to put your head. Jesus said, you are acting like a pagan, because the pagans are running after this. Then Jesus goes to the third point. Oh my goodness. And I love that point. What is the third point? He said, your God who is in heaven knows that you need these things. Do you know that God knows that you need a needle? Do you know he knows you need a shoe? Are you aware he knows that you need a belt? Are you aware that he knows that you need a socks? Do you know that God knows that you need an underwear? Are you aware he knows that you need, listen carefully, that phrase that Jesus made simply means that God cares about the very details of your life. He says, every hair on your head is counted. Even your hair is counted. All the young men here and the men here, how many of you go to shave? How many times have you gone to shave? Can you count? But you shave your own beard, true or false? Those of you who are now nursing beer, the Association of Beer Wearers, you can go and trim it. One single hair, now I'd like you to pay attention to this, that falls out of your body, Jesus says, they are even counted. Think about it. One hair. This morning when I got up, I grow hair very fast on my face. So I was just shaving it. And yesterday I shaved twice. And I was shaving. And I was thinking about the message. So when I shaved and I was washing, then I said, I can't count the hair in this. But God says, I know a single hair on your head that falls is counted. My God. He pays attention to the details of your life. And he says, if you leave this awareness and rush and go after these things, the food to eat, what to wear, where he say you are like a pagan. So every warrior, you are in the ways of Jesus, a pagan. So who is a warrior here? You don't want to become a pagan. So you don't want to raise your hand. All of us worry. We don't want to become